Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Now, all I want to do this morning is to remind you that in times like these, not only do we need a great Savior, we need a great book. We have got to have a great book. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the greatest book history will ever record. It's called God's Word. It's the greatest book in all of history. And the other day I had one of our colleagues at the school. He's figured out that I love sports, so he brought me a great Sports Illustrated. And it was fun, but it was only fun for a moment. And then it was like it was over. I'm moving on. But I can get into this, and it just overwhelms me with how truthful, relevant, and practical the book is. Now, the concern that many have within the body of Christ today, they look at the scorebook or the scorecard or the scoreboard, and it looks like the church is losing. When you hear those kind of conversations, you're listening to members either in the dugout or on the playing field of life. These are analogies, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, so you can reference to the body of Christ. And they talk in negative tones and how bad things are, and how things are going, you know they've not been on the rock recently. They may have been there at one time, but they're not there now. Having grown up in a Christian home, and I wasn't a Christian, that's biblical, by the way. Just because you're born with a great heritage doesn't mean that you've been born from above yet. There are many that have already been deceived into believing because I had a great family and great parents who love God, I automatically have a ticket. No, we don't. You must be born again. It doesn't matter who you knew, where you've come from, or where you think you're going, unless you're born from above, according to the book, eternal life is not yours. He's prepared it for you. But just like we had to pay to get into JetBlue Park, he has paid, but you've got to pick up your ticket. Amen. You're not walking into any stadium without a ticket. And you're not walking into the kingdom of eternal life without picking up your ticket so that you can see that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when you walk out of here in just a few moments, and that could be a praise God right there for you, if you're wondering how long will this be, you should be asking yourself, not where am I going to be eating lunch today, not what am I going to be doing this afternoon or what's coming up this week, but rather is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I had breakfast the other day with one of the coaches in Bronson, and he was sharing with me about a young man who tragically has lost his life because of driving issues. So let me pause for a moment. It's my heritage, not my age. Young people that are driving, learn to be defensive drivers. Don't only watch for yourself, but watch out for others. Put your cell phones away when you're driving, or pull over to the side of the road and take care of what you need to. But don't endanger yourself and don't endanger others. Aren't you glad for a shepherd in the house? Watching over God's people. We are in some desperate times, but the report card says that we have already won. And when your name has already been written down, you are a champion. Now, to stand strong as a champion, you've got to stay in God's Word. God's not asking any of us, and I'm speaking specifically to those of us who have either used God's Word, spoken from God's Word. He's not looking for great theologians. He's looking for individuals who walk out the principles of his word. Amen. So having grown up in a Christian home and not being a Christian, you thought I lost that, right? I remember going to Sunday school and hearing these kind of songs. If you need to, you can look in front of the chair and you will find some little earbuds. So if you don't want to hear me sing, you can put them in right now. That was a joke. It went something like this. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I'm going to be sharing from God's Word. Thank you for not giving me an ovation, because that would encourage me to keep singing. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of the Bible, taking the word Bible and sharing with you how important it is to be the central theme of our lives. Amen. Come on. One has said many years ago, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. I can tell you, looking back through the lenses of my history, I know that that is absolutely the truth. When I was not walking in sin, the book was very inviting. When I was walking in sin, I kept it closed. Even as a Christian. Billy Sunday put it something like this. I'm not going to use my glasses right now, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase. Billy Sunday was a wild man back in his day. We're talking about not Billy Graham, Billy Sunday. Nudge somebody and say, I've never heard of him before. Billy Sunday said something like this. The reason, old sinner, you don't like the Bible is because it tells you who you are. He was an alcoholic. He was deep into the drug scene. And God turned his life upside down and brought him into the kingdom. And he became a dynamic speaker long before there was a Billy Graham. That's why we keep it closed, because we know it's nothing but truth. And we are self-deceived and prone to do that to others. So if we stay out of it, we feel like we're innocent. Until we open it up once again and realize, yes, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but boy, is there ever some things going on in my life that should not be going on. So in times like these, we need the Bible. This is not going to be boring. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be motivating. And hopefully you will take some notes so you'll understand the value of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that in times like these, not only do we have a great Savior, we have a great book. And that book will never be destroyed, regardless of what man may try to do. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we thank you this morning. We thank you so much for your Son. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that permitted men to write down all of the truths that we now have. And Father, we will stand upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And we thank you for your word this morning. Please speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The hymn goes something like this. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I had a few moments this morning before the service started to just go back over notes and to pause and let the Holy Spirit breathe some things into my life. Yes, I know I just said that. Man, that sounded weird to me. Well, aren't you glad he hasn't taken away your breath? Because he gives us the breath of life. And then the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us gives to us the breath of the kingdom. So I jotted down in my notes early this morning, idle people are not Bible people. Sense the Spirit of the Lord here. As I look back across my life and moments of idolatry, it always came when I was idle. Vehicles were not built to stay in neutral. Neither were you. My most dangerous times in my life, as I look back over my life, has always been when I've been unstructured, no discipline, no motive, no purpose. That's when I became idle, and that's when sin started knocking at my door. In order to answer the door, I had to make sure my Bible was closed. Spirit of the Lord is here. And I'm asking this morning that we will hear less the sound of sin at the door, but our hearts will be captured by Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And by the way, that is a scripture that's talking about Christ knocking at the door of the church. God forbid that this house, as it continues to grow and advance, ever has Jesus standing on the outside knocking to come in. May that never happen as long as I'm here or anyone else that comes on staff. May this house always, always have the door open, because he is the door. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to take a look at, first of all, Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to take the Bible, the name Bible, the term Bible, and I'm going to give you some truth from God's Word, how that ought to be central in our lives. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Everything that I've already said, which is kind of like an introduction, tells you that when you open this up, it begins to see you. I have a student at the school who is a Spanish-speaking student, dynamic young lady, and I have fun communicating with her. And the other day, we were passing in the hall, and she said to me, "I see you." And I said to her, "Tell me what that sounds like in Spanish." She did. She said, "You want to try?" I didn't try. I just said, "I see you." Why did you do that? Because when I open this book up, it says to me, "I see you," from the inside out. Though everybody around you looks at you from the outside, when you open up my book, the Holy Spirit has said to me many times, "I see you. I know what's going on in your life. And I'm the only one that can make a difference in your life." I want to give you just one sin moment in my life without giving you depth of the story. I remember one time, this is many, many years ago, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Many, many, many years ago. Not in Florida. When I was not living for Christ the way I should be living, can anybody identify? Come on, church. Don't leave me lonely up here. Don't make me have to play some rock and roll songs to make myself get back in place and in sync. Oh, that's his problem. Yes, rebellion will demonstrate in a lot of different ways. For me, back in those days of the 60s and early 70s, you go that far back? Deeper than that, my friend. Rock and roll was the term that helped us express our rebellion. Country music does the same thing. Put your bricks away. Naughty, naughty. I remember when I was walking in sin and practicing sin. You know, to walk in it, you have to do it. Come on, church. To walk in it, you have to practice it. And I was practicing it, and unbeknownst to me, when I walked into a particular room many, many years ago, in the act of sinful lifestyle, the Bible was open. It was the most piercing, I'm talking about Hebrews 4:12, please. It was one of the most piercing moments I've ever had in my life. Of course, I could say it now, but it probably was true then. I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit didn't say to me, I see you. I sense the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. And I'm inviting families. By the way, this is not judgmental by any stretch. I'm giving to you a reference point that has been researched and proven. This has been researched and it's proven. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. It's eternal. It's eternal. God's word doesn't shift. It doesn't change with the times. So this morning, we're going to take a look now and see what the Bible can do for us. You can follow along on the screen, or you can actually look this up in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he, that could be either you or I or others, that comes to God must believe that he is, being God, as a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The Bible was given, everybody say be, to be believed. God wants you to believe his word. The other day I had a student ask me, Mr. Weber, at your age, why are you still furthering your education? Nice question. And I said to the student, quite frankly, I don't know, except I know that God has opened up, watch out now, the door for me to continue. Why did you bring that up? Because many would like to believe if they could understand first. God doesn't want your understanding. God wants your obedience. Come on, church. And that's where the rubber meets the road. I'll open it up as long as I can understand it. It wasn't built for you and I to understand in the natural. Come on, church. It's going to take the Holy Spirit teaching you day by day his word. He's not looking for your brilliance. He's looking for your obedience. It was both Samuel and David who said, listen closely, very, very important, obedience is better than sacrifice. There have been times when I've wanted to turn away from the book. There were times when I was studying at the college level, God's word, and it didn't make sense, and I didn't want to hear any more professors, and it was all a tangled mess because we approach it with our understanding. But he wants us to approach it just like his son did when he walked here. He wants us to believe. Listen, since you didn't enjoy the first one, I won't sing the second one. An old hymn many years ago said something like this, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. If you don't get anything else this morning, walk out of here going, I believe in God's word. I believe in God's word. It will always trump every situation I'm facing, and I'm always going to go to the word before I go to anyone, in person or in space. We were over at Badcock yesterday, and gosh, got my wife moving in the right direction, I think. Men, we know it's subject to change. Ooh, But sometimes you just got to go do it. And then bring it home. Say, what you think now? We all do that. Come on now. And so we were over there at Badcock, and we were looking at a couple things, and I shared some things with her, and she shared some things. And how many know that you can walk in agreement and still have different lenses? That should help all of us that are married. In fact, you really do need different lenses. But that shouldn't interrupt the spirit of agreement if you believe. If you believe. And listen, it's not what I say I believe. It's what you see me do that tells you what I believe. Come on, church. So this morning, we have a God who will diligently reward us if we will only believe. I just want to take a moment here, and if I don't finish it, you know it's okay. I'll be back. I want to say this to someone who's really challenged right now in their faith. Are you ready? Trust God. He'll bring you through. Trust God. He will bring you through. Is that not a place to give God praise? As we move away from the B, I want to give you a quote by Mahatma Gandhi. I've studied his work. I've studied his life and what he accomplished. He had a great impact upon Dr. Martin Luther King. He's impacted nations. He impacted the world. Listen closely to what he said. Before we leave, the Bible is to be believed. Quote, "You Christians look after it as a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turning the world upside down and bringing peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it's nothing more than a piece of literature. This is more than a piece of literature. There's power in this book. There's power that God wants to place in your life. Listen, and it will bypass your understanding and mine, but boy, will it tap into you as it taps into me when I simply say, yes, I will obey. And that's all God asks. Listen, parents, he's a lot like you. There's times that all that you want your children to do is to obey what you ask them to do. They don't have to understand it. They may not be in agreement with it. They just have to do it. And it's the same thing for us with our Heavenly Father. I may not understand. I may not agree, even though he's still right. Come on, church. He's never wrong. So I can hold my disagreement with him, but he's right. He was right before the disagreement came up. And there was no disagreement on his end. It was on my end with him. But when we simply go, okay, I don't understand, but I know this, I believe in you, therefore I will obey you. That's the proof of belief. Jesus put it this way, if you love me, he said, then obey me. Amen? Let's go to the second one. The Bible is not only to be believed, the Bible is to be internalized. Friday night I was invited, and it was a whole different scene, to do a motivational in Bronson for their football team, and so it was a whole different level. And that's not this morning. It's one thing to motivate someone, but if they're not open internally, all you did was touch their emotions. There's extrinsic and intrinsic. Let me break that down because you're probably thinking, he's trying to act like he's somebody. No, not at all. There are people who go to church all over this nation because it's the right thing to do and it looks right and I feel good about it. But nothing changes internally. It's all external. The Bible wasn't given for us to be turned on. The Bible was given that we might internally come to know him. Right there. Woo. One of my heroes, the Apostle Paul, not asking to finish my life like he did. You know what happened to the Apostle Paul. He was beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We barely will stand up for truth today, and here he is laying his life down. We're soft, borderline sissies sometimes. It's true. By the way, none of them chose to follow Jesus. They were called to follow Jesus. He chose them. They didn't choose him. And then Jesus went ahead and clarified that in the Gospel of John. So if you're in here this morning and you might be wondering, what in the heck am I doing in here? The Holy Spirit brought you in here. Do I know if you'll be back? Only if you'll obey the Holy Spirit. And only if God's word has internally begun to affect you. when I wasn't living for Christ as a teenager and as a young adult, I still loved to go to Beulah Beach on the shores of Lake Erie. That's not a nice lake. Dirty, nasty. But it was a phenomenal tabernacle. But even when I was living in sin, are you locked in here this morning? I loved to go into the tabernacle and listen to the worship, and I loved to listen to the men and women of God and the missionaries from other countries that would come home and share incredible stories, because something was happening on the inside, but my flesh was rejecting what was trying to happen on the inside. Am I getting a witness in here at all? But I kept going back to Beulah Beach and sitting in that tabernacle because I loved being under the sound of the gospel. I just didn't want it working on me. But it felt good. But it felt good. And I would walk out of that tabernacle and back over to where we lived on the other side of Ohio, away from Cleveland and that area. And check it out. I was back in sin. But it felt good to get to that tabernacle. It was great to listen to those messages and hear those men and women of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit preach with such authority from His Word. I loved it on the outside. Just don't change me on the inside. Sounds opposite of David, doesn't it? David said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit." He has to create it and he has to renew it. How many know that's internal, not external? That's intrinsic, not extrinsic. So it's dangerous to say, I like to just be where people motivate me. That basically means where I can feel good for the moment, but I ain't changing. Well, Jesus has faced a lot of jackasses. He even used one. Come on, church. Oh, no, no, no. Like I say to the kids, don't walk out of here this morning going, he called me a jackass. I didn't use your name. I just simply said, because I have kicked also. I have kicked many times against the Lord. You know what a donkey does, jackass. You know how they kick. How many of you have ever milked? My grandfather was a farmer. I tried it. Hands not big enough. Out, no more story. So I'm done milking. How many have ever milked? Okay. Can she once in a while give you a little kick to let you know about it? Knock that milk over? Make you say things you shouldn't say? Wonder where that came from? Come on. You act like you're, oh my. Yeah, we have. Sure we have. I remember my grandfather. Boy, he'd start cussing at that stinking cow. Like, what the heck? You squeeze too hard. It's got to be internalized. It's what will keep you going. If you come in here just looking for a pump up, it's not going to work. It'll be flat before you get out of the parking lot. But if you are internalizing the word of the Lord, it will transform who you are. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit, okay? Test yourselves, Paul says, to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test? So He's not an outside God. He's an inside God. Whew. That's why He says, the old Walmart shall be my tabernacle. He never said that. He said your body would be the tabernacle. Your body would be His temple. You mean a lot to Him. Tell people to keep their hands off of you. You're special. You've been created in His image. It's not external, it's internal. And when you let loose of all of that external stuff and start realizing the internal fire and the flame of the Holy Spirit, you will stand on the rock and the rock doesn't move. Father, we thank You. So the B stands for, man, the other night when I was in Bronson, I brought all 45, 47 kids up, and they were right here in the front and all the parents behind. Every time I said, okay, set, man, they just about blew off in the roof. Wow. The B stands for believe. Listen, you're going to be challenged this week not to. Are you with me? You're going to be challenged this week not to believe. But I want to encourage you, stand on the rock and continue to believe. I was in contact with Dr. LeBlanc, and she gave me an extension. Praise God. I told her how bad my eye was, and, well, I put a little extra. Come on, y'all. Mr. Weber, I won't be in today. My cat was froze. We're in Florida. Mr. Weber, I won't be able to come in today. We all do it. I didn't put a whole lot on, but I put a little bit. Like, I can't see her. Where'd she go? No. So she gave me a little bit of extension. Stay with me. If you're under the sound of the gospel, you're in touch with the Spirit of God. Oh, you got to listen to that. If you're under the sound of the gospel, you're in touch with the Spirit of God. And I said to Dr. LeBlanc, as I was speaking with her, I said, we have not stopped praying for you and for your daughter. Your daughter belongs to the Father, and the Father will bring her home. He was willing in his son's body to leave the 99 and go after the one. He will go get her. It was a prophetic word. So you may have loved ones that are outside the fold right now. Don't curse them. Don't leave them. Pray for them. The shepherd will bring them in. That would be a nice place to do something. Okay, let's do one more because you're all going, B.I. God. He's going to be here till Jesus comes. We're going to do one more and stop, okay? So the B stands for believe. The I stands for internalize this. Robin, when she was single, she dated everybody. That's not true, but I got you thinking. But when she met me, it got inside her. The truth is, she got inside me more. And out of that friendship developed a relationship. That's how it really should start, by the way. A friendship to relationship under the covering of the book. And we did. In fact, she was so screwed up. I'm sorry, let me change that. I was so messed up that our pastor, Tom Grubb, said, how about double counseling? And we did, for her sake. It really was for her sake. So she would be able... That was the truth. Y'all looking at me. It was for her sake. So she would know, he really is an idiot. I can do that because I know who I am in Christ. And listen closely. For those of us who have been married before, you're going to take baggage into the next relationship unless you get some help to get that baggage off. And for me, it took over 6 years. So God just hid me in the mountains of Western North Carolina in a beautiful mansion. That's not the truth. It was a shoebox of a house. Well, it was good. I didn't have a lot to clean. But when I met her, I checked her out right away. Oh, no, 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 no. This was back in the 40s, folks. We didn't do that back there. No, no. I checked her out. I invited her over. I wanted to see what she'd do with that beautiful mansion. Was she willing to come in and help me clean it up and make it better than what it was? And she was all in. I became all in. And all of a sudden it was like, I think I could actually do life with you. It turned from external. I mean, you can see she's beautiful. It moved from external to where it became internal, and we became one, and we'll always be one because of what Christ has done in our lives. We don't brag about that, but we understand how it happens. It happens when you are committed to something bigger than you. It's called the Bible. Good preaching. Joshua, do you want me to stop? Tell the truth. The smile is enough for me. Give us some great background music. I need some kind of a love song. You got any love songs over there at all? Create one. Start singing. Lock the door because we'll be running if he starts singing. No, let's go to the last one. Let's get some background here real quick. The B stands for believe. That's all I want you to do. I just want you to believe God's word. I'm not asking for you to understand it. I'm not asking for you to take classes so that somebody can convince you the way they see it is the way you've got to see it. I'm asking you just to believe God's word. That's all I'm asking you to do. No, not really. The Holy Spirit is asking you, will you believe? Will you believe me? And the proof that I believe him who I have not seen is I believe the oracles that he's written down for me. Okay, let me move this away for a moment from a church setting. I grew up in a phenomenal home, but I wasn't a Christian. But every night, we've heard this before. You're going to hear it again. We had the family altar. And we gathered around and my dad read scriptures. And then on certain nights, it was our turn or someone's turn. Always hated it when the girls prayed. There were two girls, three boys. Well, you can put my mother there too. But we still won because it was three against four. Anybody else have families like that? You're not competitive? Oh, wow. Jesus can use you. He loves righteous people, religiously righteous. You're not competitive at all? We were very competitive, overboard sometimes. But we would gather around. Don't dwell on that one too long. We gathered around and there was the reading of God's word. We all got on our knees because our knees felt better than our butts. Well, he must have been mean. No, he wasn't. It was just a given. But if he needed to get our attention, quick story, because we're going to talk about the last B in just a couple moments, for just a moment. Boy, you don't want to miss this. One time I was acting up in devotions. My dad laid down the Bible. He got up, came over to where I was seated, grabbed my arm. When I regained everything, I was on the other side of the room. And he said, do you understand? Yes, sir. Oh, no. He wasn't a violent man. He was letting us all know this is preeminent in the family. Before you go out making things up, married to the same woman for over 60 years, in ministry for over 60 years, served on the front line in West Virginia, Kentucky, that team up north, and then into Ohio. So be real careful. But I'm going to move you now to the B that tells me I have been betrothed. What is that word? I am married to Christ. I'm no longer in love with the world. The world doesn't love me and I don't love it. I am married to Jesus Christ and I'm waiting for an incredible wedding supper. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It's located in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there because I know that it was finished before I started. I know I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there because even while you were sinning and you were walking away from God, he was walking towards you in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And he's inviting you to come join all of us at the table. It's going to be called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. The Bible tells me I'm to believe. The Bible tells me internalize the truths of his word and know that you're not married to the world any longer, but you are married to the bride. You are married to Jesus Christ. You are the bride. He's the bridegroom. You are married to Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are to love him and not the world, nor the things in the world. The scriptures I'll come back to, but I want you to gather this morning from the youngest to the oldest. Christ has chosen you. He loved you before the foundations of the world. He went to the cross before you arrived and all of your sins are under the blood, he's asking you, are you ready to pick up your ticket of entrance into the kingdom? For some of you, he is asking this morning to take off all of the bands of the world and only wear the wedding band that will bring you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. To all of us that are married, he's reminding us we have a double covenant. A covenant with him and then a covenant with that person who we internalized in those dating days, who now has become the lover of our hearts. And God is going to make marriages one, just as Jesus is one with the Father. Shall we pray?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.